All right. Thank you. And let's go now to the Word as we turn to Galatians chapter 5 once again, continuing our study of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And why don't we have a word of prayer and just ask God's blessing today on the reading and the exposition of the Scriptures. Let's bow together. Father, we pray now that you will open the Word to our hearts, that you will open our minds also to comprehend the things that you are saying to us. But Lord, may our wills also be softened so that we want to do the things that you have instructed us to do, that we will do this freely, lovingly, out of choice, not because we are feeling compelled to do something that we are resistant to do. Lord, help us in this. And we pray all of this now in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Galatians 5, starting at verse 22. I imagine in a few weeks you'll have these verses memorized, hearing them again week after week. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, then let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. The story is told that there were two men, each who owned their own business. They lived in a certain town. And they sold similar products, although they also had products that they sold that were different than one another as well. You might say 50% of the stuff that each one sold was similar to what their competitor sold, but some of the other things were different. But it seemed that person B was one who was very upset about the fact that person A had his business in the town. And so every chance that he had, he took the opportunity to speak out against person number or letter A, and made it sound to people that he knew that, you know, this was not a good business, not reliable, not one that should be used to purchase products. You might say, well, it's understandable. It's business, you know. I mean, he's trying to make a living too. But the thing was, this was going on the part of the one individual, but not by the other. There was not a retaliatory thing happening. One day, person A, of whom the speaking was about, I happened to be in a church service one day and heard a message on the subject of kindness. It was the passage of Scripture that we'll refer to a little later in our message today. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Beautiful words, hard to fulfill, but nonetheless very beautiful. And this individual decided that from now on, in addition to not saying bad things about his competitor, that he would take every opportunity he could, that if his name came up, he would always seek to praise the individual. Can you imagine? One day, there was a person who was shopping at the other location, and the name came up of person A, the one who had now committed his life to kindness. And the customer said to the other person, you know, I came here because I was recommended to be here by this individual who runs this other business. And the person was quite shocked. He said, they recommended me? And he said, well, yes. He said that that you are a reputable businessman, and that though he sold similar products, there was also some things that you had that might be beneficial to me that he did not carry, and he would recommend that I give you consideration. Why, the man was so shocked that he had been recommended by this competitor that he just didn't know what to do. Finally, he thought about it and he said, you know what? I'm not going to let that other guy get the best of me. From now on, I'm going to do the same thing. Pretty soon, battle was over. People weren't speaking out against each other. They were just doing what? Doing everything they could to promote one another in genuine love. And of course, that all started because somebody took the Word of God seriously. That's where most of our problems are in the life that we live. When we take God's Word seriously, it doesn't mean that we'll never have any troubles, but it does mean that we'll at least have the right direction in which to go and which to walk. Jessica Bratt, in her little Words of Hope devotional, some of you see these in restaurants sometimes, she wrote one of the recent editions of that, Words of Hope, and she's talking about the subject of kindness. And she said that she had a friend who recently was expressing sadness to her because this friend, they saw that there was an evangelical church in their area, and they thought, how nice, it's right there, it's one that at least in it teaches the same things that we believe, and so they started going to that church, and they were very excited because it was right there close in their neighborhood. And then, after a few weeks, she became rather disenchanted. She told Jessica, she said, I can't believe it. She said, it's like there's no kindness there. Nobody even says hi to me. Nobody is even friendly to me. And she says, I just don't feel like, you know, something is right there. Something is missing. And it's a sad evidence, of course, that this church community was failing to show the fruit of kindness. That's what we're going to talk about today. All of these things work together. Of course, they all flow out of love. You know that. But nonetheless, they are all connected with love, too. If we are living in love, as the Word of God teaches us, then we're going to see love manifested in our lives through things like kindness and patience and some of the things that we have talked about and are going to talk about today. Now, kindness is the fifth fruit. And you remember the fruits that are mentioned, 4, 5, and 6, are all talking about not our relationship primarily toward God, but our relationship primarily toward others. And this is an important word. You can see that it is a Greek word there, krestotais. And it almost looks like the word Christ is in there. And that's rather interesting because one of the things that was said about Christ is that he was meek and he was gentle. And that, of course, is what kind of is behind this word, too. Sometimes the word that is the Greek word that I've listed there is actually translated gentleness in some Bible versions. However, most of the time it has the translation kindness. And so we're going with that translation as the probable intent of what Paul is trying to say. Now, kindness is something that is best known when we're going through suffering. Nobody likes to suffer. Nobody likes to be treated unkindly, especially by others. And yet, that is when our kindness really has an opportunity to show itself. Because when we're going through times of suffering and things aren't going the way that we want, we find that now is a real challenge to our Christian life and our Christian experience. Am I going to practice kindness in spite of how I'm being treated, in spite of the sorrow that I'm experiencing, or am I going to show that kindness to others as God has asked me to do? Kindness here, as we talk about it too, means more than just niceness. You know, there is a superficial niceness that you see in the world around us. People go to parties, they go to various events, and they meet people sometimes for the first time, and sometimes one person will introduce a new person to another, maybe to a mutual friend, and they'll say, you know, this is Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so. And a lot of times you'll hear the word, oh, well, how nice to meet you. It's so nice to meet you. And a lot of times, you know, that's kind of the attitude that people have about kindness. Well, it just means that I treat everybody nicely. know, sometimes it's hard to do, and it's not even that kind of superficial niceness that Paul is really talking about here. He's talking about our ability to draw deep from within ourselves by the power of the Holy Spirit and to treat other people in the same manner that Christ treats us. Now, that's one of the things that's so significant about this word. When you look at how the word is used in the New Testament, there are in particular two different ways that it is used. One, it is used as a reference to the character of God himself and how God chooses to live. You notice in Scripture, Romans 2:4, it says that it is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. What if God were always harsh to us, if God were always angry with us, if God were always attempting to hurt us and make us feel bad? Well, you'd say, I certainly wouldn't want to draw near to a God like that. And yet God does what? He commends his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, he even offered up his son for us. I mean, what greater kindness could there be than that? You can see, you know, from the pictures this morning on the screen how very good we feel about having children and grandchildren, and I know you feel the same way. But you see, the thing is, it's a difficulty sometimes to think of loving other people and showing kindness to them in the same way that God does, because God loves us so much and is so concerned about us that he was even willing to offer his own son on our behalf. That's just amazing to me that anyone would be willing to do that. Kindness is demonstrated also in God's character, because when we taste that the Lord is kind, what should we be willing to do? We should be willing to lay aside all sinful things. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I know God wants this, and God wants me to do that and not do this. But, you know, sometimes I just don't feel like it that way. You know, why do I always have to live that way? Why can't I ever live just the way that I want to? Well, you know what? Suppose that God took that kind of an attitude toward us, and yet we have tasted of the kindness of God. If God responded to us in the way that we often would like to respond to others, it wouldn't be a good situation, would it? We need to do what? We need to, having tasted of the kindness of God, we need to lay aside all that is against that, and especially sinful things that reflect a lack of kindness. The kindness of God also must never be regarded as an opportunity to sin. Sometimes people say, well, you know what, if God doesn't, he's going to treat me good anyway, you know, so what? So I sin. So I do this or I do that. What's the big deal? Is it really that big of a deal? And so a lot of times people think, well, you know, I know God will forgive me anyway, so why not just go ahead and do what I want? The kindness that God has in his character should never be used in that manner. It's something that ought to move us to repentance and to cause us to desire to live holy before God rather than to follow our own sinful ways and desires. Remember that the God who is a God of kindness is also a God of strength as well. God's strength and his gentleness are seen together. Now, the kindness of God, of course, is something that is in the world all around us. You look at the world today, and what do you see? You see that God is doing well by both believers and unbelievers, by the people who are thankful as well as the people who are unthankful and who are living in evil lives. The fact that the sun shines on the good and the not so good, the people who are in rebellion against God. The fact that God sends his rain upon the just and the unjust all reminds us what? That his character is one of kindness, even in spite of the fact that we don't deserve any of that. The Bible's very clear that there is no man who is indebted to God's kindness. Nobody can say, well, you know, God ought to treat me this way. I mean, he owes it to me. After all, look at all I've tried to do for him. The Bible says that if God were to treat us in the way that we deserved, we would be in a sad situation. The Bible says, if thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquity, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. You think about that. If God acted on all of our sins and punished us immediately the moment those sins were committed, if God showed no patience, if he showed no kindness, if he showed no desire to woo us back to himself, then what kind of a situation would we have? The Bible's very clear that God is willing to show his kindness even at the times that people deserve it the least. In this kindness of God, too, there is saving power. Okay, this is where the saving power of God is found. Paul, in writing to Titus, the young pastor, said that it is the kindness of God, our Savior, that makes our salvation a reality. If God didn't act toward us in kindness, there would be no salvation. You and I would not have the forgiveness of sins. We would not have a relationship with Christ. We would not have a home in heaven with God someday. All of these things would be missing. But you see, because God shows a willingness to forgive our sins and to give us the Holy Spirit also to strengthen us and to lead us and to guide us, God seeks to change sinners into good people. He doesn't just say, okay, I'll forgive you, I'll keep forgiving you, but you know, you don't have to change, you can just stay with you, whatever you want to be, you can just stay that way. No, God in his kindness even goes a step further, and he seeks to make us into something new, something that is fitting for himself. Jesus was strong and tender, and yet, as the scriptures tell us, he never broke a bruised reed. Have you ever seen something that was maybe bruised or bent a little bit, and you say, oh, well, that's worthless anyway, and just snapped it off? Sometimes people think, well, that's what God must do with us too. You know, he sees that we're really not all that good, and so he just says, oh, well, why bother with these people? But the Bible says that isn't God's way. He doesn't bruise the bruised reed. His rebuke even of sinners is couched in kindness. You remember when the story is told that a woman was brought to him who was taken in the act of adultery. And Jesus spoke to her, and how did he speak to her? He said to her, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. He spoke to her in kindness, not because he approved of what she did or because he was happy about it, but rather because in all of her sinfulness and her humiliation, Jesus knew that this is how she was to be approached. Now, these things are all true of God, all right? Now, if they're true of God, you would expect that God would also be looking for them in us. After all, what does God want from us? God is, of course, our standard, and we are to be godly. We are to be characterized by godliness. Godliness is another word for God-likeness. Okay, if God is this, then we are supposed to be like him. And that includes even the manifestation of kindness in our life. Kindness, as all the other fruit that we've been talking about, is a virtue that comes because of God's grace working in us. It's not something that we can create in and of ourselves. It's only the product of grace. You wonder why we talk about grace being amazing. It's amazing because it not only saves the sinner, but it also changes the sinner. Grace enables us to move from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light with a new lifestyle, walking in the light, not in the darkness. Okay? And when we're talking about kindness as human beings, one toward another, it means a willingness to keep our own power and authority in check. Sometimes somebody does something to us, says something about us, we could get so upset that we could say, man, if I ever see that person again, I am going to let them know. They're going to get a piece of my mind. I'm going to blast them. Well, who doesn't feel like that? I know I feel like that. I'll tell you, it's very easy to do that. And yet, I ask you one question. Is that God's way? The answer is no. Is that what Paul is talking about here when he said that if we walk in the Spirit, we're going to manifest things in our life like kindness? No. Kindness does not crush the weak. It is thoughtful and kind. It manifests the judgment of charity, tempering justice with mercy. This is a statement by R.C. Sproul, the great Presbyterian theologian. Some of you know his name, seen his books or some of his videos. Very good theologian. Naturally, of course, we have our theological differences with Mr. Sproul too, but nonetheless, very, very fine expositor of Christian truth. Paul quotes the psalmist also that the tragedy of life is that there is none who is kind. The Bible says there is none that is righteous, there is none that is good, there is none that is kind, there is none that seeketh after God. That's a tragedy, that God has been so kind to us, and yet there's nobody in the whole world that really exercises the kind of kindness that should be shown. But nonetheless, that doesn't mean that we say, well, nobody does it anyway, so why bother? No, on the contrary, we should seek to do just the opposite. And we should avoid those situations where there are people who would corrupt our way of living and move us into the wrong direction. It is in this kindness that Christians must forgive one another. And this forgiveness comes from God's forgiveness of us. You know, the Bible's very clear, isn't it, that if we refuse to forgive others, can we expect that God is going to just want to forgive us? Man came to Jesus one day and he said, how often does my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? You see what he was doing? He was saying kind of like three strikes and you're out, but I'll double it and I'll add one for good measure. Seven times? Is that enough, Lord? Lord said, oh no, 70 times seven. He didn't mean a literal 490, you know that. He meant keep on forgiving, keep on showing the proper approach to people even when it's very difficult to do. He said, if you refuse to do that, how can your Heavenly Father forgive those who refuse to forgive others? The Bible tells us too in Ephesians 4:32, I quoted this passage earlier, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. You know, every time I read that passage of Scripture, I think back in the Old Testament. I think back to the story of about two individuals back there. One of them was the son of Abraham. His name was Isaac. And there was another man who lived in the area. His name was Abimelech. And they were both wealthy men. They both had lots of cattle and everything. And, of course, in that part of the world, what's one of the things that everybody needs? Water. And so Isaac took a certain place, and he dug a well and was feeding or using it to take care of the needs of his cattle. And along came the servants of Abimelech, and what did they do? They stole the well away. Sometimes they stole the wells. Sometimes they filled them up again. I don't know why in the world you'd want to fill up a well when water is so short, but you know, that's sometimes when people are mad, they're not always thinking clearly. But what happened? Finally, this man Abimelech looked around and said, you know, I'm noticing something here. I'm noticing that this fellow Isaac is continually being blessed. No matter how often we steal his wells and plug them up and do all this other stuff, he keeps on prospering. What is going on? Well, of course, we know that part of that was part of the Abrahamic covenant that God had made to Abraham, Isaac's father. God had said to Abraham that he would bless him, and that he would bless not only him, but his seed also, that he would continue to be with them and show his love to them. Well, one day, Abimelech came over and said, I have been watching this, and I see that you are greatly blessed. He said, I want to put an end to this battle. I've had enough. I'd like to sit down and resolve this. And so you know what they did? They sat down and they made a covenant between the two of them. They made the covenant around a meal. I'm telling you this because next week we're going to have a covenant meal together too, right here. We call that one the Lord's Supper. This one, of course, was not the Lord's Supper, but this was what theologians have called a parity covenant. It was a covenant between equals. You know, the covenant that we celebrate next week between God and ourselves is not a covenant of equals. God is far greater than any of us. But in the covenant here with Abraham and Abimelech, or Isaac rather, and Abimelech, these two were people on equal terms, and they decided that they would resolve the differences and they would stop this warfare. Now, you know, I could just see, this is Tom Koning talking now, I could just see that if I were Isaac and Abimelech came to me and said, you know, I've noticed that you're being blessed and I just want to stop this battle here. I just don't want us to be fighting over this water anymore. I could just see myself saying, well, then stop stealing my water. It's your fault. Right? I sure would have. I mean, as sure as I'm sitting here, I know I would have thought that. And I might have said it. But you know what? Isaac was smarter at that point than what I probably would have been. He said, all right, you want to make a deal and we'll stop this? Fine. Let's make the deal. Let's sit down and have a covenant meal together and we'll call it good. And you know what? Abimelech walked down the road back to his home, and not even one day had gone by before one of Isaac's servants came to him and said, Isaac, guess what? We just struck a brand new well. We've just found new water that we never had before. Less than 24 hours later, it's like God was looking down from heaven and he says, Isaac, I saw that. You did the right thing. I'm going to bless you. And you know what? He did. And he was continuing to grow in his flocks and herds and had the water that he needed and so forth. And as far as I know, you might have to refresh my mind on this, but as far as I can remember from the scriptures there, the battle between the two ended. Somebody had shown some maturity. And you know what? When there's stuff like that going on where people are not getting along together and kindness is what is called for, the person who takes the first step sometimes toward kindness is showing the greater maturity, even if it's not reciprocated. Okay? And so, whenever I see Ephesians 4, be ye kind one to another, that story rings in my mind because I can't think of a better Bible illustration of two human beings treating each other the right way. You know, one, of course, was a believer, the other one was not. And yet, though one was a believer and the other one wasn't, they found that doing things God's way was the right way to do it, and things got much better because of it. Christian kindness is a lovely thing. And its loveliness comes from the fact that Christian kindness means treating others the way that God has treated us. What is Christian love? It means that I will show love to you the way that God has shown love to me. I'm not there yet. Maybe you're not either. But I'll tell you one thing. It is God's way. It's what he's looking for in us. It's not easy. It's not pleasant. But it's what God is looking for. Let's bow and ask God's blessing on our service today. Father, we thank you for your word. We know these things are hard. You never promised us that it would always be simple to try to live God's way. But Lord, we do know that by comparison, it's the way of the sinner that is hard. It is the yoke of following Jesus where the burden becomes light. And so, Lord, help us to realize that fact. Help us to turn to the right way, knowing that in due time, that we will find that the way of the kingdom is the way where burdens become light, where they are not hard any longer. Lord, may we all learn this. May I learn this. May everyone who is gathered here today learn it. May those who are not here with us today, but wherever they are, Lord, may this be something that characterizes our congregation here. I pray, Lord, that what Jessica Bratt said in commenting about that one church where people were not showing each other kindness, I pray that that will never be Faith Chapel. Lord, we don't want that. Real faith results in real works of godly living, and it results in the kind of fruit that honors God. Hear our prayer now. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.